Hello, one and all. Welcome to the roundtable. Julia Marcus with you. And, well, it's never dull. We say this on a weekly basis. It is never boring in the National Basketball League. And yet another crazy weekend. And it was an extended weekend. It started with the shenanigans of Thursday night in Wollongong. And it continued on to Sunday evening in Melbourne when the Taipans were obliterated by 43 points to a rampant Melbourne United. But there were lots of things in between. The Wildcats, under strength, I said last week they didn't have a prayer against the Kings. Shows what I know. The Kings, 0-2 on the weekend, now 5-4 on the season. And there's real trouble. There's some storm clouds hovering in Sydney. So on that note, I'm going to turn it over to my good friend and colleague, Matt McQuaid, because, Matty, you had a front row seat Sunday afternoon to the Sydney Kings against the Breakers, and boy, oh boy, is there some trouble or what?
Yeah, hello, Julian. Hello, listeners, wherever you may be listening around the world. It's funny. I was thinking that, two or three weeks ago, I said that a certain fan base out west needed counselling, and they were struggling big time. Look, I think the same can be said for all Sydney Kings fans at the moment. There's trouble in paradise, to say the very least. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all plays out, I guess, over the next 2 to 3 weeks. It was a shock. It really was. And, you say I had a front row seat. Well, the man that's joining us as our special guest had the front row seat because he was up close and personal as one of the great analysts on ESPN. So let's get him on board and get his thoughts because he's also someone that's very, very close with the Sydney Kings in so many ways and a big part of that organisation over many, many years. So it's actually funny. We've got him on at the perfect time, I think, to really run the rule over this team and what is going wrong right now.
Yeah, talk about serendipity. We had this man booked to come on the program before the weekend, and, well, it just slucked out that the Sydney Kings are the headline story as we come to you this week. And the man we've got with us, as mentioned, is a fantastic basketball mind. He is one of the main analysts on ESPN. You can also hear him as part of the Brad and Body podcast, which is going great guns. Make sure you subscribe to that and subscribe to this while you're at it. Talking about the one and only Brad Rosen. Brad, it's great to welcome you back to the roundtable.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, and I wish I could say it's been all rosy and everything's beautiful for the Sydney Kings as we're having a chat, but it's anything but.
Anything but is right. And then the story coming out on Monday night via our good friend Matt Logue through the News Corp papers just adds further fuel to what is a quickly raging fire. Matt McQuaid, I'll start with you on this one because there have been quite a few messages that I've received and that the program has received waiting for your reaction to the events of the last 72 plus hours, and then certainly what we learned Monday afternoon regarding Brian Goorjian, Cam Oliver, and what we already know about Jalen Adams. Things have fallen apart for Sydney rather quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure that falling apart is not the terminology they want to hear, but look, if they're not in crisis at the moment, they're as close to as I've seen. I'll start by saying that after that New Zealand game, I was in the press conference with good friend of the program, Olgan Ulich. We were kind of shooting questions at both Brian and Petteri Kopanen of the Breakers. But the one thing about Gorge, I've rarely seen him that despondent. He came in by himself. He did the press conference by himself, as he is able to do. And just his body language, his demeanor, the way he spoke. This is a man who was always, you know, been someone incredibly energetic and has been this year, you know, and I've spoken about that I couldn't believe the energy he brought as a 70-plus year old now, and still loves to coach, loves the whole cut and thrust of it, loves the development, you know, loves the strategy and the motivational side of it in which he's been, outstanding, probably one of the, not probably, one of the best we've ever seen at it. But he was down, man. He was so down. And, you know, as he said, he's there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of frustration within the group. And there ought to be, because they lost in two different ways. They lost over the weekend. They lost in Perth. I thought they came out arrogant. I thought the mindset was all wrong. I thought they came out thinking they're just going to roll over a Perth team minus both Ty Webster and, of course, Bryce Cotton. They'd beaten them there before. Even though they didn't have Jalen Adams, they felt like they had enough. They didn't work hard enough. And as Gorgian said himself, they got dominated in the effort areas. And that was borne out by giving up 27 offensive rebounds, the most by a Sydney Kings team in franchise history over the 40-minute journey, and actually top 10 all time any game. So that's one thing. And then just defensively, the stuff that we always associate with Brian Gorgian just wasn't there. And he admitted it in no uncertain terms. So you think they come back to Qdos and against a New Zealand team that's coming off a massacre at the hands of the Phoenix, that they're downtrodden. You know, most people think, oh, here we go. The Kings are going to be angry. And they got to a 30-18 lead early in the second quarter. And that was the biggest shot they threw, because after that, New Zealand dominated. And the final score was probably a little closer than the margin should have been, quite frankly. I thought, and this is a New Zealand team, mind you, missing three key guys, Mitch McCarron, Max Darling and Mahave King, and just took the Kings to school and again beat them on the rebounds, beat them up. The Kings allowing 93 points at home, and just they just have not been good defensively. And then, of course, again, once again, Jalen Adams, and we'll get to him in a moment, but he's again non-participation. And and then, as you mentioned, Cameron Oliver, there's problems there. There are problems, clear problems. As Matt Logue mentioned in his article, frustration over minutes, but it goes deeper than that. So, they've got problems. There's no two ways about that right now.
Brad, you look at the Sydney Kings' two performances on the weekend, and, I mean, yesterday was startling enough with not one Sydney Kings starter getting into double figures, but it actually gets worse than that. Across the two games, only once did a Sydney Kings starter get into double figures. That was Xavier Cooks on Friday night with 22 points. The rest of the weekend's the starters, and you look at Friday night, Robertson, duck egg. Lupepe, duck egg. Quoll, 3 points. Tui, 3 points. What did you see over the weekend on the floor from the Sydney Kings, and what was your takeaway?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's definitely issues there, and I think what you've both been saying, and I thought Matt summed it up really well with what he was saying, the one thing we have to remember is Jalen Adams is out. Now, when I looked at this team and I watched him in the first couple of wins of the season, forget preseason at the moment, when I watched him in the first couple of wins, Jalen Adams was the guy that was really going to work for them, right? And I thought he did an outstanding job.
Mm.
When he wasn't on or wasn't in the game, as in if he wasn't playing real well or then didn't play like he has the last few, the Kings look completely lost out there.
Yeah.
And that's the concern that I have, more importantly than the win-loss record at the moment. I have no fear of our win-loss record. And I say our, I mean Sydney Kings. I'm not worried about the losses. I'm worried how we're losing, obviously. But I think, you know, if anyone's going to turn this around, Gorge. Now, obviously, I've been an assistant with him. I know what he's going to do. The guy won't sleep for 6 months. Like, he'll make this right. So there's no question he'll get it done. There will be something that will happen with Cam Oliver, and that is you'll toe the line or we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Right? Because to me, there's no question that he's coming off, because the guy's not running back on defense and not getting what he needed. And yesterday just proved that to me when he took a shot and just strolled back. And meantime, the big just run straight down. And, you know, Freddie Gillespie, who, no disrespect to Freddie, he's not the fastest bloke in the court, right? And he just waltzes down, gets the ball and throws it down. Now, if I'm a coach, I'd be taking my guy out. And I don't care who you are. If you're going to do a turnaround fadeaway and your man's going to beat you down the court, well, no, that's not how we're going to play. So I'm not surprised to see him not play at the end of the game. It happened in Perth as well. So there's obviously a discussion, but man, I don't see that they're just going to turn around now and say, Cam Oliver, see you later. What it's going to be is, you know, I mean, everyone said it wasn't going to work with Cooks and Gorge didn't have him in the boom. Like, Cookie's playing MVP level. Like, Gorge will sort that out. Right, he's the best man management in the world. Right, there's, well, I should say in the world, but I'm probably close. Right, but best man manager we've seen, and so he'll sort that out. But more importantly, we look lost on the offensive end when Jalen Adams is not in the game, and that's the thing. I think Sean Bruce does a good job when he's out there. Isaiah Liatha really not playing a lot of point, more the two. Right, and ironically, I thought, and as crazy as this might sound, I thought the best we looked out in the open was when Xavier was running the point. Now, hear me out when I say this. That's grabbing it off the glass and going downhill. Everyone spotted up. Everyone made their play, and Xavier made really good plays. So on that side of things, I struggle. But unless they get Jalen back, I'm not sure where they're going to change. Now, on the defensive end, I'll go to that. They're not down and in. There's too much been happening, right? And I feel that they're so worried about the other end, we've gone away from, it's like, we'll outscore you guys, don't worry, right? No, this team's not built like that. This team is built to be up and in. Matt, you and I called a game for them at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And they absolutely torched New Zealand.
Mm.
They couldn't get the ball over half court.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Like, it was just dog in, dog out. Yesterday, oh man, I mean, you know, PJC and Matt Mooney, they had a field day.
Yeah.
They scored 45 points between them.
Yeah.
Now, we're, you know, meant to have, and I'm not going to blame Bull Quayle, but we're meant to have the best, you know, two-way player or best defensive player, one of the spoken about in the league. And the two guys are getting away from 45, and I'm not blaming him. But what I'm saying is, where is our defense?
Yeah. But the thing is, Brad, and, you know, I had this discussion with Olgan earlier, and he pointed out after the game, he said, right now, they're paying Bull Quayle. Now, I'm not going to, you know, make this let's pile on Bull Quayle, but he's not getting the job done. Like, that's a fact of life. He has not been good. And the question you ask yourself, and this is, Olgan, I thought was a really smart question. He said, ask yourself this right now. Kings are paying Bull Quayle X amount of dollars to perform a 3-and-D role. Who would you rather have right now, Bull Quayle or Wani Swakalabulluk?
And it's, I would, a no-brainer. Wani's having a great year.
He's having a great year, and he's probably going to be at least top five for defensive player of the year, if not top three. He's been outstanding.
So, I mean, you look at Bull Quayle. I mean, he's shooting 42% from the field, right? Yeah. And now he's shot 43 shots. 42% is very good. Yeah, but, you know, I just
want to point out something with him. He has not been to the free throw line once.
Yeah. Well, once. My point was going to be is he shot 43 threes. He's only shot 53 shots.
Yeah.
So that means 10 is inside the three. Now, a couple of those were probably threes with his foot on the line. But I'm not seeing that any – like, it's like, well, you shut him down from the three-point line and that's it. I think he's and I felt that's what he was coming to Sydney for. His D was always good, but it's to take his game to the next level, and I agree with you. I certainly haven't seen that.
Yeah, no doubt. And – you know, to be fair, I think part of it is the fact, you know, you mentioned the lack of shots from him. I think part of it is he's not quite sure about his role. Mm-hmm. And he's also not really, he hasn't played minutes with Jalen that much, mm-hmm. you know, to a guy that can make guys around him better. Mm-hmm. And you talked about Xavier, and you're on the money. Xavier is kind of in that Draymond, Gorge is putting him in this Draymond Green role, where he's that point forward, right? The problem is it doesn't really work. You know, if they're not in transition, it doesn't really work from a half-court perspective. Mm. So, and that's what we're seeing. And Gorge talked about it in the press conference, you know, after the New Zealand game. He said, you know, the two things that happened were fatigue, which we'll get to in a moment, and guard play. Because without Jalen,
I don't understand the fatigue, though.
I'll talk to that in a second.
Yeah.
But the guard play, he's absolutely spot on, because he said, you know, to me, before the season started, that was one of his concerns, that if Jalen Adams went down for an extended period of time, who does he go to? You can talk about Sean Bruce. Sean's been a great veteran, but Sean's lost a step. You know, there's no doubt defensively he's not what he was. He's still, you know, solid. Isaiah Liafa is a small two guard who's better off the ball, as we saw on Sunday, finally, you know, got to knock down a few shots, but that was all off side pick and roll, you know, pick and roll action, top of the key. That's pretty much where he got his touches from. And then Tyler Robertson is actually played the three spot in college, led his conference in assists, I think, 22-23 season. But he's not a point guard. But unfortunately, he's having to play that role as a starter right now because really, you know, Sean and Isaiah at this stage of their careers are not, they're not starters. I mean, they're guys that'll give you good backup minutes, but they're not, you know, the guys that you want, you know, playing heavy point guard minutes. So that's a real issue, particularly given, you know, Jalen Adams' back problems, which don't appear to be improving anytime soon. And that I've just got a massive concern over that for sure.
We know back injuries can linger. I'll put it out there to the floor. Do the Kings need to think about an injury replacement now?
Oh, 100% for me. I can't believe they haven't already done it. Because this thing...
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like for me, I mean, I played in a season where we went through 8 imports. Right. And I still remember just every day felt like another guy was coming in the team. And it's just so hard when you're trying to get that cohesion and understand what Gorge would be doing. It's like we can cover for him. We're talented enough. We're getting scraping away with wins, you know, the Tasmania ugly win, but we got there and we're scraping away. But, you know, going 0-2 this weekend, you certainly ask the question a little bit more. If he's 2 or 3 weeks away, no. But, you know, if he's a month or two away, I don't know. It's a really tough decision because then people are then going to have to play in a different position and then different roles are going to happen. And I don't know. It's a really, really tough one. But I'd probably have to say I agree with Matt that if he's more than a month away, you may need to look at it, and it doesn't get any easier this weekend for him, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's – see, you know yourself, Bradley. I mean, back issues, as Julian said, they linger. This is the problem I've got. I mean, I've talked about this before. You know, Steve Garfino, it's a classic case. Again, long time ago, but 1990, slips on the decals at the Entertainment Centre, does the splits virtually. And then was never right again, got through the end of the season, but then had to retire prematurely. Now, medical technology and advances being what they are, it's not, you know, it's not to that extreme, hopefully, but they are very tricky things. And, you know, the thing is, and I get what you're saying, and I you know, obviously I remember that extremely well, the 8 imports, but I think if you're going to keep him on, you're going to have to – they need something else. They need at least someone to come in for a period of time and, you know, basically give them some production at the point.
Yeah.
Now, it's difficult because obviously that's the guy that the offense is meant to flow through. But you do have Xavier there. You do have some experience there in Sean Bruce. You just – they're getting
it's also a mindset thing, you know, like Gorge is going into this thing going, hey, we got enough. So if you start to bring in an import now, you're going to have 3 or 4 players thinking, oh, I haven't done my job.
Yeah.
Right. And that's you know, so now you've got players questioning it. Then you're going to have other players that will potentially now play less minute because that guy's got to take the minutes up. It's a real tough one. Nothing you've said I disagree with, but, you know, it's 2 losses in a row, really poor. Whilst we're struggling in certain areas, the one thing you always can't teach is effort. and we got out-efforted, if that's the right words yeah. to use. We Perth, got done in yeah. both games.
Probably both games. Right? It was worse in right.
Perth. 100% Perth was yeah. worse. And yeah. I'm not surprised because, you know, everyone in Australia was going, Perth got nothing without Bright Cotton, man. You guys are done. If I'm John Riley, man, I would have been stirring that pot all week, and he probably yeah, he was, right? Yeah. He would have had it rooped all over their locker rooms. You guys are done. Hey, why are we even showing up to this game? I'll leave it to you guys to play, right? Like, he would have just had them, and Gorge would have said it. I saw it 100 times, right? Gorge, you'd be saying, hey, you need to know they're coming at you with a cricket bat tonight. It was his favorite saying, right? They're coming with a cricket bat. Now, are you going to come back at them with a cricket bat and we'll play hard for the first quarter and then they'll fold? Or are you going to let them run over you? And is that where we're going to be at? Which way do you want to go? Mm. And Perth came out bang, 21-all in the first quarter against Perth. Sydney had a little run in the second, and Perth were like, we're not going away. Next thing you know, it's 24-16 in the third period. So, and Keanu, who hadn't been playing well, they needed to put him out of the game, and they could have. I don't mean hurt him, sorry. I just mean, like, just go at him. That was the guy that everyone said, and I mean, I know I certainly did, for them to win, he's got to have 30-plus, and he did. Mm. So I just felt, yes, we can talk about Jaylen. Yes, we can talk. Is this guy doing that? If that guy's doing that, mate, you can bring in every guy in the world. If you guys aren't going to play hard, if you're not going to box out, if you're not going to do the things that need to get you these wins, then forget it.
That really does answer the next question I had, which is where do the Kings and Brian Gorgian turn this around? And this weekend, particularly Thursday night, they've got a horror matchup at the moment with what they have been producing on the floor. Because we'll break down this game a little bit later on, but I'm looking at the statistics. They're taking on a Melbourne United side who they are going to work themselves to the nub on Thursday night. They'll be up for it against the Sydney Kings. And Matt McQuaid, this could be the opportunity for the Sydney Kings to make a stand.
Yeah.
Or it could be what we saw out of Cairns yesterday, another nightmare.
It's what Brad just said. You know, the classic Gorge. Yeah, they're coming at you with a cricket bat. They're coming at you not only with a cricket bat, they're coming at you with a hockey stick. They're coming at you with boxing gloves. They're coming at you with everything they've got on Thursday night. So this is an opportunity, and the whole world will be against the Kings. The whole world will be dumping on the Kings. They already are. Gorgian's lost it. I mean, the peanut gallery stuff on social media has been ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous.
You know, ridiculous.
Yeah, he's lost it.
Gorgian was never the best ever. It was all all this crap. It's rubbish. So the accountability, Gorge will do his bit. There's no doubt. The accountability is going to be on the players. They're going to have to step up because Melbourne are going to be physical. Melbourne are going to be well-drilled. Melbourne will not give up anything easily. They will try and impose their will over the Kings in the same way they did to the Cairns Taipans, as undermanned as the Taipans were. You know, that was a frightening performance by Melbourne, you know, even with the three guys missing from the Taipans. We know, you know, their issues. But they did exactly what a great team does. They pounded on a weaker opponent and didn't let up. And this is what the Kings face on Thursday. I know one thing about Brian Gorgian. He's still the greatest ever. His track record is unimpeachable. And if there's anything who can work it out, it's him. There's no doubt. Now, that all said, I do not deny this is one of the most significant challenges he's faced in his 25-year NBL career, the greatest career we've ever seen, because of the expectation mainly about this team in their preseason, the fact that he's probably going to have to do it, not probably, he will have to do it, without Jaylen Adams. And then the guy we haven't really gotten to yet, and the problems that are obvious for all to see, is Cameron Oliver and how he deals with him and what's been going on there. So it's an enormous challenge, but it is one of those things where, you know, the Kings players, the playing group themselves, have to take accountability. They have to be steadfast. And they have to go in there with the appropriate level of energy and respect for their opponent and play like their lives dependent on it. Because the one thing you don't want to do is lose three straight games, which, by the way, with the Kings, this man has only happened to him twice. once in 2002, 2003, and then the sweep in the 2006 Grand Final series against the Melbourne Tigers. Other than that, he just doesn't lose three in a row. It's just, yeah, he doesn't do it. So, but if they do lose, and again, as Brad mentioned before, and I think that's the more important thing, it's how you lose. People, you win. It's a win-loss league. I get it. You're going to lose games. It's how you lose that matters. But if they go 5-5 into a game with a Tasmanian team they should beat, but is also physical and tough and great in those areas and those effort areas that typical Gorgian teams are all about, this one at the moment not so much, they show up for that game at 5-5 and they go down in that game again at home, man, look out. You know, this is where we're at right now. Yeah, it's, look, you can say it's early in the season, but I kind of feel like, and I looked at their next, I think, five or six games, and if this doesn't improve, this can go south in a hurry. It really can. And that's what I talked about, Brad, with the whole Jalen thing. You know, I kind of just feel like they need to, I don't know, they need to have a serious conversation at the very least about it, about, you know, bringing in someone else, because God only knows how long this thing is going to last with him.
Yeah, look, I'm not at that panic stations just yet, but I hear you. For me, I don't know, Gorge will be, I love the fact that we're playing Melbourne on Thursday night. I love it, right? This is exactly where you'd want to be as a coach taking this team in, because it's quite simple. Guys, I've put everything in place. Every single one of you were handpicked to come into this team. Every single one of you have been getting minutes and I've been playing you guys and I've been saying this is what it is. Right now, it's on you. None of this, you know, you deserve this minute, you deserve that. I don't give a crap no more. This is how it's got to be. You come to play and come to play hard, or don't be bitching to me when you're not getting on the court.
Yeah.
That, like, it's just a perfect scenario. So I can run every play you want. I can give you every scout that you want. But if you guys aren't going to box out, if you're not going to defend, if you're not going to run the floor, if you're not going to run our sets, if you're not going to do whatever it may be that is the game plan, well, then you're sitting. Now, he's done that to Cam Oliver, so he sent a message to the team. I'm not standing for this anymore. Cam's the first guy. There'll be more to follow. The only guy that I can confidently say that I would say absolutely no worries is Zave, because he's playing. He's hooping. He's playing his butt off. Now, I'm not suggesting others aren't, but it doesn't look like it, right? I love what Sean Bruce brings. You're right. He just brings that mongrel. You know, Isaiah Liatha, he's shot really poorly, but, you know, like, he comes on, he does his bit. But everyone else has been up and down. Alex Tui, mind you, only 17 minutes on, you know, against Perth, but 3 points.
Yeah.
Right. And then he backs up and comes out the next game and was really no better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just goes, you just sort of wonder, right, what are we doing? He had 16 minutes with 6 points. So I just think there comes that time where Gore's just going to have to say, right, I'm going with my guys that I got faith in, because at the moment I'm trying anything and everyone. That, I mean, give Kelly Le Pepe. I mean, I've never seen a guy get 7 rebounds in total and all of them offensive.
Offensive.
The guy is an absolute beast, right? 5 assists, 8 points. But, you know, like, he's bringing guys in and out, and I don't know what else he can do except to say, this is how it's going to be. Sit a couple of guys. Just sit them. This is how it's going to be. And you're not happy about it? I don't care. Then show me a training you want to be on. And I think that's what it's got. The one thing we just got to keep remembering very early in the season. You want to be doing this now, not in February.
Very true, yeah.
Well, the other side of the coin for Thursday night's blockbuster game is Melbourne United, and they had their own massive story across the weekend. Not just the two wins, but that game on Thursday night, it deserves its own little deep dive, and we'll do that on the other side of this. This is the Roundtable. The Roundtable, Julian Marcus, Matt McQuaid with you. Another massive weekend of NBL action across round 6. And, well, I almost wanted to do an emergency program on Friday on the back of what we saw and heard on Thursday in Wollongong, because Matt McQuaid was one of the games of the year, and if it turns out that it's these two sides, Illawarra and Melbourne, at the end of the season, I don't think he'd argue on the back of what we saw on Thursday. It's a game that had absolutely everything. Where do we start? Do we start with the game? Do we start with Chris Goulding? Do we start with what happened in the post-game press conference? We can start. Choose your adventure, Matt McLean.
Yeah. Well, everybody's probably yelling, Goulding, Goulding, for obvious reasons. Now, let's talk about the game first. I think there were a couple of things. I think Melbourne announced themselves in that game. I mean, they won that game without Matthew Dellavedova or Shea Elliott. That's point one. They went into that environment, and again, as they've done so many times over the years, particularly the teams that are the championship level teams, as this one clearly is now. And I had said that I'm concerned about their scoring. If they play defense like that, it's not going to matter. What they did to the Hawks, you know, on their own floor was outstanding. And to do it without, you know, one of the best defensive backcourts in NBL history, bar none, just blew my mind. And look, you can say the Hawks weren't helped by Trey Kell going down. Clearly, that did impact them. But even at that stage, you could tell Melbourne, that was their game. And they were determined to make a statement. Now, how it finished wasn't great. And Illawarra did a fantastic job, I thought, just to stay with them, you know, when Melbourne were, you know, controlling the action, I felt like, and getting contributions from a whole bunch of different areas. They were outstanding. They really were. And you know, that what happened with Chris Goulding, and then sort of the aftermath in the press conference and the things that Justin Tatum said kind of overshadowed what was a fantastic game. And second of all, a reminder about just what a great defensive unit this Melbourne team is. And, you know, I mean, that Illawarra team was the best offensive unit by a long way. You know, I think they were the only team averaging 100 points a game coming into that ball game. So they held them down. They restricted Tyler Harvey to 12 points, which I thought was critical. Will Hickey had a brilliant game again, just to underscore, you know, how immensely talented it is and how he has taken another step to becoming, you know, or at least on his way to becoming a legitimate star in this league. But, you know, I mean, Chris Goulding, despite the theatrics at the end, was outstanding. Jack White was an absolute monster. And you know, 19 rebounds, just extraordinary, the work that he did. And then Flynn Cameron, you know, having his breakout game, the son of Pedo Cameron, of course, one of the all-time great Tall Blacks New Zealand basketball players ever.
I'd even say that breakout weekend, because he was brilliant against Cairns as well.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, so that's another piece that Dean Vickerman can add to, you know, this puzzle that he's put together. So, yeah, they were sensational. But the Illawarra game and, you know, the fact that they withstood a number of charges from Illawarra and ended up outscoring them 33-29 in the last, it was just a phenomenal game. You know, one of the games of the season for sure. But the way they won it was just so impressive to me. So that's point one. I guess the Goulding flopping, it's getting ridiculous. I mean, look, if it wasn't ridiculous before, it's just, that was comical. You know, and I know some people have said, oh, we hyperextended. I mean, come on. Let's, you know, please don't insult my intelligence. I mean, you know, I've seen that. Look, as I said the other week, love his game. You know, won a bronze medal for Australia in the Olympics. We'll never, ever forget him for that. And he's a world-class shooter. There's no doubt. He's one of the all-time greats that's played in this league. But there is one thing that he has done consistently throughout his career as well, and that is flop to an insane degree. And that was just comical, what he did. And so, you know, you can, I'm sure what I say, they don't, you know, they've talked about it. They don't really care about the quote outside noise, and there's been a lot of it. But I thought that was just poor from him. And it's just, he doesn't need to do it, but it's just part of his DNA, unfortunately. So it's not like he's ever going to stop doing it. And if the officials fall for it, well, they fall for it, you know, and that's on them. As far as what Justin said look, I think we can sort of, you know, not spend too much time in it. He's apologized for it. He's been fined by the league. You know, and I think he realizes that, you know, look, a couple of things. One thing in particular, he said, you know, with the whole racial thing, maybe people took it out of context a little bit, but the fact he said it, I think, is more important. And I don't think he believes it. Look, racism's racism. It's a horrible thing, but I hope it doesn't pervade, you know, this competition or even this country as much as, you know, maybe in other countries that it does, clearly. But yeah, I mean, I think there was a level of frustration there. There was a level of disappointment in, you know, dropping another game at home, second one they've done this year. So yeah, I think we can kind of say, yep, he apologized for it, realized that he probably said a bit too much, accepted the fine, and we move on.
Matt, before I answer, I want to ask you this question, and it might sound crazy. Do you think if the clock did run, let's assume that it ran, and Illawarra did have a timeout and they challenged that foul, forget what happened.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have been overturned?
Yes.
You do?
Well...
Because here's – now, before you – let me just tell you what I'm thinking, right? So forget the clock not running at the moment. We'll come back to that, right? They threw the ball in. Goulding goes down the sideline. And I – let me just start by this. I do not believe the foul should have been called.
Yeah.
Right, forget the clock not running. I do not believe that foul should have been called. I'm sitting sideline. I commentated that game. With what was let go in that game, you don't call that.
Yeah, that's
right. I loved the game. It was outstanding, and the finish was even better, to be honest, even though you can, you know, count all the stuff that was going on. But I believe, to the letter of the law, if they challenged that, they wouldn't have overturned it, because there was the slightest of bumps. Now, did he make contact? That's the challenge of what it is. I think if that was anyone else, they wouldn't have been accused what's happening. I thought what Chris Golden did was nowhere near as bad as what he did the week before in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was a lot more, right? So I think that was a lot more embellished. Now, what happened after that with the knee and the ankle and whatever that, I forget it. Like, you know, that's got that wasn't after a hit, and you can say that's the flopping, whatever you want to say it was. I actually didn't think what Chris did right then, I didn't see that much in it when I was calling it live. Now, the fact that firstly, I thought he did his knee. And I was like, oh, my God, but it was a rolled ankle when you saw it slowly, and that was, you know, fast pace. And I just thought to myself that I don't have a problem with what Tatum did, everything. Forget the press conference at the moment. I don't have everything he said. I agree with, like, you can't call that there, you know, that with what was let go. Like, I mean, Tyler Harvey, man, that guy was held every time he wanted to move. And there was guys that were held for Melbourne as well. So I'm not saying that wasn't – it was both ways. It was such a physical game. It was worthy. We said after that game, that was like, you know, game four of their semi-final series, because they had three last year.
Yeah.
Right. And they just played so hard, both teams. And I thought it was a tremendous game. I think it's such a shame that it was ruined towards the end of that.
Yeah.
And all that should have happened is it should have just gone back and replay that. To get a tech in that position, no, I don't agree with it. Right, you don't give that in that game and that thing. I know whatever he said, I don't mind. You just got to know time and possession, because I also say that if that coach is going to get a tech for saying what he said, there's going to be a lot of techs coming up.
Well, yeah,
right, because there's a lot of guys doing that, right? A lot of coaches.
Yeah.
So all in all, then what happened in the post game conference? I thought everything he said was fair, except for that last bit that you're talking about.
Yeah, no. That's the only bit. And he knows.
And he's acknowledged it. He's come out. He's got a $3,000 fine. He's apologized. We move on. I've got no problems with that as well.
One thing I think that the focus of what he was trying to get at is the lack of consistency.
That's 100%.
And that's the problem. And that I have absolutely no problem with him saying that, because he's right. Because there are referees, people who listen to us know who these people are. Mm-hmm. There are referees, and you've seen it. You've been right there. You've heard the stuff that is said, because you're right there. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that is said, and me too, but some of the stuff that is said that, you know, and not just what is said, how is said,
mm-hmm.
is you know, deserves a technical 9 times out of 10.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That, like, they'll do it for some coaches, they won't do it for others.
Right. So why does that happen to him when there's others in that time? And I am sure that what he said should be a tech. Okay. But then where do you draw the line now? So now it's got to be every single time.
Yeah. Well, if he's going to get a tech for what he said and how he said it as well. As I said, probably more important is how you say it. You know,
You know, there's that old saying where he said many, many years ago, I don't know if it was Larry Sinstock or Ray Borner, and he said to a referee, can I get a tech for what I'm thinking? And he said, no. And he said, well, I think you are that, and I won't repeat the rest of it, right? So that's the greatest comeback I've ever seen in my life. But, I must admit, I thought the reaction on Golding, I thought, wow, like, I just didn't think it was as bad as the others he's done. You know, like I'm thinking to myself.
No, but it was more theatrical, I think.
Oh, theatrical, no question. And
that's what people had.
And that's crowd, and that's what man. They were going nuts. We had to do a post game after it, and they are yelling flop, flop in our ear. I could hardly hear anything, and it was like it was just such a fantastic atmosphere. It really was great to be around. And look, in one way, I just hope that they, that's a grand final series that we get, whether it's those two teams or whatever. That's what you want to see.
Do you think that the outrage around Golding was a case of further wait? Because as you mentioned, what he'd done only a few days earlier in the throwdown, he and Rob Lowe, it has to be said, had a 5-minute meltdown that ultimately cost Melbourne that game. You got in on the back of that, and then we get that on top of it. Do you adds to the feeling of angst 100%. That people have.
And that's what they say about Jesse Wagstaff for years as well. You know, Short Redditch, when he was playing, like if you got history of it, they're going to pick it up. Now, if that was, you know, Ian Clark, no one would have said a word. Mind you, that guy, is he balling or what? 50, 40, and he's 100% from the free throw line. This 50, 40, 90, he is absolutely balling, Ian Clark. Look out for him on Thursday night against the Kings. But yes, if it wasn't Golding, then no one would have said a word. But it's obviously the weight that he's done and stuff that, you know, has happened over the last X years or whatever it is. It's people are calling it out.
Melbourne now the championship favourites, because we've had Illawarra in that tier. Are Melbourne now the championship favourites?
Look, I think it's you'd have to put them right up there. I think there's two teams that are, you know, far about right in front at the moment, and that's Illawarra and Melbourne. The fact that, you know, Trey Kell went down, who was really in MVP contention, that really hurt them. And for that little short period right after he went off, they look absolutely lost. They didn't know what they were doing. They look completely out of control, but then they got back into the game. So I felt that was difficult. So I put Melbourne and Illawarra as those two together. And the fact that Melbourne won, I guess you've got to put them number one. I put Adelaide just below them. I love what they're doing. I think they're outstanding and they're only going to get better. And then look, you know, the Kings, you can't put them up there. I don't know who to put it for at the moment. I really don't. Like, you know, you've got the Kings and I don't see enough from Perth just yet. Tasmania, no. I just don't know enough from all these other teams. But it seems a runaway at the moment. Those top three are really playing good basketball.
Matty, what do Adelaide need to do to get into that top tier with United and the Hawks?
Play better defense. Oh, that's the key for them. They're bottom two defensively in the league. As undeniably talented as they are, and the fact they've got, you know, a guy in Montrezl Harrell who is tearing this league to pieces right now, and you know what he did against Cairns. I mean, 36 points, 15 boards, 5 blocks. Actually, reminded me of a game. Brad will remember this one when Josh Childress was playing for the Sydney Kings. Ironically, this was against Adelaide at the Sydney Entertainment Centre. 36 points again, 19 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 block shots. One of the most complete games by anybody in a Kings uniform I've ever seen. And that's easy enough to say. But then, you know, considering some of the players that Brad and I have been, you know, lucky to be associated with over the years, whether it was the Dwayne McLeans or the Chris Williamses, Matty Nielsens of this world, that was right up there. So this guy is sensational. Jarrell Martin's going to get better. Needs to drop weight. That's obvious.
Yeah, you can see he's been out. I agree. Yeah.
He's down, but then they've got the great strength and conditioning guy named Nick Popovich, again, who Brad and I are very close with and have known forever. For those who don't know, Pop was on was the strength and conditioning manager for Gorgeous Championship teams, two of which Brad was the assistant coach on in 03 and 04. So, if anybody's, the right guy to get Jarrell up and going, it's Nick Popovich. No two ways about that. They've got an outstanding backcourt. I know DJ Vasiljevic hasn't been shooting the ball well in recent times, but we know how deadly he is. I think Kendrick Davis is a star of this league, and he just gets better every time I see him. I like how he's aggressive, but without forcing the issue. But I think that for me, I have them on a tier below Melbourne. I think Melbourne and Illawarra have separated themselves at this point. I really do. And I think Melbourne's the favourite. To do what they did is, again, without Ilie and Dellavedova one game, Ilie another game, the game against Cairns, you just shake your head and go, how? This is such a brilliantly coached team, well-drilled, ultra-professional. They do everything right. Adelaide has the potential to win a title. There's no doubt. But they still have to prove that three-headed monster up front can work effectively together. If they get that right, look out, no doubt about it. For me, they're on a sort of a similar tier to the Kings and the Wildcats still, even the Wildcats without Bryce Cotton, and they're going to have their downs for sure. And then I kind of have New Zealand, Cairns, Phoenix, Tasmania in one group, and then the one team I look at that's got absolutely no chances, Brisbane.
Oh, man. they're a train wreck, that thing.
They're just not good.
Thanks for proving everything I've ever said right about you again, Brisbane.
That's right. You sold all your real estate in Brisbane Island very quickly.
I think I found some extra behind the couch if anyone's interested.
That's right. But, I think that's kind of where I see things at the moment.
Where do we put the Breakers at the moment? Because it was a weird weekend from them. They went to Sydney and they won well, and then they get blown out by the Phoenix. It's straight. They got a 4-2 record. There is stuff to like about them, but there's still an air of mystery about them, Brad. And I guess it comes with them, heading overseas for a little American trip to play in the NBA preseason game. So that, of course, was always going to disrupt things. But, I mean, there's some nice pieces. There's some things to like about the Breakers, but at the same time, we still don't know enough about them, it feels, because then you get blown by 26.
Well, I have them right with Sydney at the moment. So, as I said, Illawarra, Melbourne, Adelaide in that top tier, then Sydney. Then I have Sydney and New Zealand right there. And then the rest, you can put Perth, Tassie, Cairns, all that. So for me, the one thing we have to remember is they were missing Mojave King. Mitch McCarron was out. Max Darling was out. And they're three big pieces. And one of the things I really know, and I never want to use this as an excuse, their travel has been really horrendous. And I don't just mean the fact that they've done a lot of kilometers. It's the fact that it's connecting flights. It's getting in at 1 and 2 a.m. in the morning. Those things really struggle for guys that are not used to it. We're not NBA. We're not just rocking up to the car, out of your car, get out of the bus, straight up the plane and take off. No, it's, international flights. It's getting there early. It's passports. It's got to take care of this. And it's a real difficult travel for them and some really long flights. And the fact that what impressed me so much yesterday in that Sydney game was that I felt the Kings were doubling that high on-ball screen really well. So as PJC was coming off that screen, they doubled it. Well, a show and get back is what it's really called. So
Zayn
was guarding.
Yeah. Well, Pepe was blitzing him. Yeah.
Right. So they show. Once the point guard tracks back and the guard gets over and can control it, the guy got back. And that what they then did is they controlled that New Zealand and they kick, hit a couple of shots. So then they had to stop the show and get back. So then they played what they call drops. Well, now the middle was wide open. And then they started to get some things for their bigs in there. And I thought it was an outstanding coaching effort from New Zealand. And I didn't have them in – like when I do my top sixes or anything, I didn't even look at New Zealand for the first few weeks. They had two good wins to start with, but let's be honest, they played Brisbane and South East. Right, I reckon us three could have got starters in both of those teams at the moment, right? So, you know, like they had those two wins, then they went overseas, they've come back and, you know, lost one, and then they got one at home, and then they were that awful. And now I thought we got to see the real New Zealand, and that's what it's going to take for Matt Mooney and PJC. They're going to have to go for 40 plus on any given night for them to get the wins. And I think they can. That's the thing. It's not like you're going to say to, you know, two imports that aren't real scorers, listen, do you guys think you can get these points? These two are flat out ballers and they can get 20 plus on each given night. So I really rate New Zealand and I certainly have them in a top six, even a bit higher, could come into that 4-5 area.
Well, they got the perfect weekend to do it, Matt, because this week they've got Adelaide at home and then Melbourne away.
Yeah, it's a chance for them to make a statement, isn't it? Yeah, look, it's funny with them. I kind of think it, along your lines, Julian, in that I'm not quite sure what they are just yet, you know, because, they have been away. Who have they played? But that game, that showed me a lot of character, you know, and that's, you know, we talk about wins and losses and, you know, when you lose, it's how you lose. It's also how you win. And I loved how they brought the fight to the Kings. The Kings were up 30-18 early in the second quarter, and it looked like the Kings were just going to blow them out of the gym. They were running, they're hitting threes, and everything's beautiful. Petteri Kaupinen calls that timeout, and everything changes. They get more physical, they're more active on the glass. You know, they still had a hard time stopping Kelly LaPepe from grabbing all those offensive rebounds, but they did start to slow him down. And then the guy who I have got just massive respect for took over, and that's Parker Jackson Cartwright. And I thought he was spectacular. You know, once they figured out that blitz action, as Brad said, you know, that sort of that quick show and that show recover, but sort of blitzing to try and get the ball out of his hands, they figured that out. And then they turned him loose in the mid-range game. You can't do that. He's deadly in the mid-range, this guy. You know, he's a walking bucket, and then he facilitates for everybody else. I mean, 21 points, 8 assists, 5 boards. But the 8 assists just tells you he's one of those guys that makes everyone around him better. Now, he and Matt Mooney, that's exactly what they expected of him, that 24 points, and he hit those 4 triples. That's what they expect out of him when they've signed him. So that has the potential to be one of the best backcourts in the league. Now, you know, Karim Lopez, the next star, was great as well against the Kings, you know, 13 points and 10 rebounds. But he was terrible against the Phoenix in Christchurch. Only had the 2 points and was practically invisible. So I think the lesson there is that developing consistency, and we forget the kid's 17, is going to take some time for him. So you can't sort of expect him to have a double-double, you know, each night of the week, no matter how talented he is. And I think Sam Menenga is another one who was quiet against the Kings, and he'll be better for that. I really like what they're getting out of Grant Anisevich. You know, I mean, he was he's giving them some punch off the bench, which I'm not sure I would have expected out of him. And I'm still not convinced that they've got much of a bench. But then again, when you look at who didn't play and the fact they will come back eventually, you know, they might be deeper than I thought. And so I think, you know, as to who they are, I think they're going to be built around Parker Jackson Cartwright. And it's basically that they'll go, as Brad said, they'll go as far as he takes them. There's no two ways about it.
This weekend's the litmus test for them this round, Adelaide at home, and then Melbourne United on Cup Eve at John Cain Arena. That place is going to be pumping. So we'll have a clearer indication on the Breakers, I'm sure, at the end of round 7. Just a quick round of buy, hold, or sells. We head to the NBL stock market. I'm going to put it to you two topics. The first one, on the back of dropping a 19-point lead and going down in OT in Adelaide and then getting blown apart by 43 points against Melbourne United yesterday. The Taipan season is now in a death spiral. Buy, hold, or sell, Matt McQuaid?
It's an interesting way you've put that, the death spiral. I'm going to sell it. And the reason I'm going to sell it, even though they're coming off, you know, an absolute massacre at the hands of a merciless Melbourne United, it's who wasn't there for them. Now, I know, you know, it's next man up mentality, all of that stuff, but the Taipans are different to everybody else. They have to have, they just don't have enough warm bodies right now. If you're missing two imports, especially one that started to find his feet in Pedro Bradshaw, and another one in Tanner Groves, who I know 40's got a lot of time for, that's one thing. Then you're missing a guy who, look, we saw for ourselves what quality he has, and that's Taron Armstrong as a point guard. That's your floor leader. And kind of like the Sydney, it's like the Sydney Kings without Jalen Adams. You take Jalen Adams, and this is what we're seeing from the Kings right now, right? Same thing, Taron Armstrong is a superstar in the making. I am massively high on this kid. I love his attitude. I love his vision. I love his length, all of that stuff. He's just got everything that's required to be a great Australian point guard. And that I get jacked up about that because, you know, I've seen some great ones over the years, and it's nice to see another young kid sort of take that step up. So you're taking three guys away. So it was understandable that, you know, what happened and what has happened over the last couple of weeks, because 40 just doesn't have the warm bodies to go. So I'm selling it, basing it on the fact, or the hopeful fact anyway, that they're going to get those guys back eventually and they'll be much better for it. But yeah, I mean, it is tough sledding right now for the Taipans, no doubt about it.
No, they're in a spiral. Look, I love what 40 brings them, and they'll get a couple of wins here and there. They just don't have the depth and health. Yep. Completely different. That's as simple as it is. And look, I had them last at the beginning of the season, and I love what 40 brings. But when you look around the talent, and unfortunately, you know, energy gets you a long way, talent wins you the rest, right? And he just doesn't have that talent up there. Yeah. And I feel for him, but I can't see. I did have him last. I don't anymore because Brisbane are. But yeah, that's not, unfortunately, it's not looking great for them.
Yeah, just quickly, I mean, the one guy that hasn't stepped up is Rob Edwards.
He had a shocker on Sunday.
Yeah. And
yeah, I only thing I'll give with Rob, though, is that he needs Taron.
Yeah, right? 100%.
I feel for him in that way.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, I mean, again, it goes to my point about how important that kid is. You know, yeah. And look, you shouldn't have to rely on a kid, but that's how good he is. And that's the way it is. So,
well, when you say you shouldn't rely, you're right. But they've built that team around him as well.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
So 40's seen him. So I, in 40's eyes, and I don't blame this at all, he's no kid. You're old enough, you're good enough. Right? You're good enough, you're old enough, I should say, wrong way around. So for me, 40 saw it. He's 100% right what he's seen. Unfortunately, the kid just can't stay healthy at the moment. Yeah. If he does, he's that guy that 40's built around. I got no problems with that. But, yeah, that's not his role. Is not, and that's why he's struggling. I feel for him.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, look, in the seeing it in person on Sunday, there were just a lot of occasions that I saw where Cairns, you look at it and you just looked at a team that just could not go with Melbourne, and you think, well, is this an effort thing? Is this a defeated? We're defeated. We can't win. We've lost our best players, and Melbourne just ran around them. And you could see the frustration with Adam Ford several times about efforts, particularly on defense, where they were turnstiles at times, and Jack White just did whatever the heck he wanted. He is playing on a tear. You don't need to give him any extra help. That was a real alarm bell moment for Cairns. Matt, I'll ask you one more thing on the Taipans. If they lose to Brisbane this weekend, will you change your opinion?
I'm going to, unlike you who dumped, you know, Brisbane in a minute, I'm gonna hold on to it because that's just the respect I have for Adam Ford as a head coach. You know, so even if they lose, which, yeah, look, even as undermanned as they are, I think they can still get the W over Brisbane, but get to that in a moment. But would it give me pause here? Probably. But I still believe in them, you know, and until such time as that, if they drop the next three or four, then yeah, you probably say, look, it's going to be pretty much near impossible for them to get into even a play-in situation. So yeah, the next couple of weeks are going to be huge for them.
Brad, buy, hold, or sell, Montrezl Harrell is the MVP favorite as we sit here right now.
Wow, that is tough. I was not expecting this one. Yeah, if he keeps performing, yeah, I'd have to say I agree with that. He's just an absolute beast at the moment. I love what he's bringing this team. When I think, right, who's my MVPs of the league at the moment? Trey Kell was up there. Bryce, you're always going to put up there, but obviously he's out injured. Xavier Cooks, you know, Jack White, I thought's had some good games, but not probably at that level at the moment. So I'd probably have to say it would be wrong not to put Montrez up there based on what he's been doing. I just need to see it probably for a little bit longer because it's only been 5, 6, 7 games, whatever it is. But yeah, am I buying? Is that what I'm agreeing with? Is that right?
You're buying.
So I'm buying. There it is. I buy. Yes, absolutely.
It's funny, isn't it? Brad's right. It's a small sample size, but that said, yeah, I have to buy it because Adelaide's winning as well. You know, and I've always I've been one of those people that you know, equates winning. Yeah, and if you're the best guy on the best team and you're helping that team win ball games and ultimately championships, then, you know, you've got every right to be a favourite for the most valuable player. It's funny. I mentioned Josh Childress before. He's another guy like Childress that we just haven't seen in this league at their particular positions. You know, just so talented and physically dominant. You know, The other guy that's the obvious guy is Andrew Bogut. You know, I mean, I kind of look at those three as being just guys that are just way too good for this league. You know, not way too good for this league. It's sort of the wrong way to put it, but it's more that they're just so dominating. And I mean, and again, now, how many six men of the year have we ever had?
Yeah. Do you know what would be the telling factor for me? When Adelaide go through that slump, and I don't mean a slump is lost games, every year a team will go through something, right? It's very rare that you have. I mean, it has happened before, but it's very rare, you know, that Christmas period or whatever it may be, a team will go through that, this is a hard yard. And that's when coaches get paid their money, right? That's when those type, you know, like when Perth go through some hard times, Bryce is still bringing out 30-point games. Right. When Sydney were going through some problems that, you know, in that year, which was rare, but they went through it, you know, Zabe was nearly triple doubles. And that's what MVP caliber player is. When things are rolling and things, you know, everyone's been talking about Montrez since he walked in there. Sign that guy. We want to keep him. Buy him a unit in Adelaide. Give him whatever he wants. You know, he's the best six man. Like all of this stuff. Yes, yes, yes. That's all great. Right. And that's all, you know, shiny toy stuff. It's when right now it's, you know, like the tough time. Everyone's on holidays. We're all, you know, like, oh, we got this thing. I'm leaving family. I'm traveling all here. We just got pumped on the road by someone. What does Montrez do then? That's when I want to see it. That'll tell me if he's the MVP of this league.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, it, you're right. It we've seen it so many times, haven't we? You know, teams fall apart at particular times.
Oh, they will. They will. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. And then it's just a matter.
Something will happen. You know, they'll go through. It's that grind, isn't it? When you get into 100%. The grind of the schedule.
You remember when Bryce Cotton got here? They were last on the ladder and he came in and what did he do? Dropped 28 in Sydney. I still remember was commentating that game, right? Then they went on to win the championship. Yeah. Like you can do it from anywhere. So, you know, the only one that sticks out to me that probably didn't, what was that year, you know, the Sydney Kings went 27-2. What was it, Matty?
27-3.
Right, there you go. 2008. Yeah. Did they win the championship?
No.
Right. So you know what I mean? Like every team goes through something, right? So it's really, really difficult to stay at that level the whole time. And as a coach, you don't want them at that level the whole time. You need some things to go astray so you can work on that. That's why I'm so intrigued getting back to the Sydney Kings this week.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not going to get any worse than what happened this weekend for Gorge. Yeah. I got no Jalen. Cam Oliver, sit your butt down at the end of the ladder, mate. You know, the end of the bench. This is where it's going. Righto, guys, you're going into Melbourne. What have you got? I love that. I just love that. You know, Gorge, remember, tells a story about Andre Agassi that's in his book, right? If you read Andre Agassi's book, and it's like, I don't look at the score. If a ball's in front of me, I hit it back. And if it comes again, I'm hitting it back again. And if that green, yellow ball, whatever you want to call it, keeps coming, I'm hitting it back. And I'm hitting that thing every single time it's in front of me. Yep. And when it stops coming in front of me, I'll look up at the scoreboard and I'll see what's going on. And 9 times out of 10, you'll be winning. That's what you want to see. And yep. That's when you know the guts of what people are about.
So that's the round in review, round 6, just to go through the scores. The Phoenix 88-62 over the Breakers in Christchurch, which feels like it was about a month ago now. Melbourne 92-87 over the Hawks. Adelaide in OT over the Taipans 99-93. The Wildcats over the Kings 87-84. The Hawks came to Melbourne and they got it done over the Phoenix 88-82. Tasmania went to Brisbane, they won it 87-79. The Breakers 93-89 over the Kings and Melbourne 106-63 over the Taipans. On the other side of this, the picks for round 7. So let's get into the picks for round 7 and we start with the blockbuster. Well, one of several across the weekend. Melbourne United, Sydney Kings, Brad Rosen, Thursday night, John Cain Arena. It's always big when it's Melbourne and Sydney, but this really does feel like Judgment Day for the Kings, doesn't it?
Look, from everything I've said, you know, I'm going to say that the gut says Sydney because I just, you know Gorge so well like Matty does. I know this is where he earns his money. You know, that the biggest talk I love about Gorge is when they lost that, you know, game at the Tokyo Olympics to make the, you know, the gold medal game. And they said the speech he said after that game was the greatest speech that's ever been given. And they went out and won bronze. I think Gorge is going to deliver that this week, but you cannot go against Melbourne with the way they're playing. Mm. So for that, I say Melbourne are going to win this game, but I just hope the Kings bring what they should bring and then they should win the chocolates.
The word I want to see, you know, the one word from the Kings is fight. And that's what we've been talking about, and that Brian is outstanding at bringing that out of guys. Mm-hmm. This is an absolute backs-to-the-wall game if ever there was one. They're coming up against a Melbourne team that has looked devastating in their last two games, that is expecting to get Shea Illy back, has, you know, just weaponry and Jack White playing like he's playing like an MVP. You know, Sydney without Jalen Adams on a – it's a short turnaround from Sunday. Mm. It's 4 days, and I, you know, Gorge was mentioning fatigue, which, you know, I understand what he's saying, but then the question I would have: what the hell is the strength and conditioning team at the Kings doing? If these guys are fatigued after road trips, like everybody has to, you know, everybody goes through the same thing.
You don't think New Zealand were fatigued on Sunday? Yeah, then
that's what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah,
the schedule. And look, I completely get what he's saying, and he's not using an excuse. He's right. The schedule's been brutal for them. Yeah, two back-to-back trips to Perth and that first trip to Perth anyway, and they were in Perth for a week, played round two, then came back. Then, yeah, you know, they've had a couple of those, but you can't use an excuse. So anyway, I think you just can't go past Melbourne right now. I mean, it pains me to say it, obviously, and I know it pains you to say it as well, but, Melbourne for mine. What they did to Cairns, and again, admittedly a decimated Cairns, but nonetheless – that's what good teams do. That's exactly what they do. They pound the weaker teams into submission is exactly what they did.
Tasmania against Southeast Melbourne, Matt, Friday night at the Silver Dome. Well, Tassie have been doing the job of winning ugly, and that's what Scott Roth has said. This could be one of the uglier contests we've seen.
Well, only if they turn it into that, which they're very good at doing. They're very good at establishing tempo and maintaining it and controlling it. Making you play their style of game. And he knows, you know, I mean, look, it's blindingly obvious they're a terrible offensive team. Not to say they can't score, but they find it very, very difficult. So how they're going to win games is dragging you into the mud, you know, getting physical, slowing it down, making sure you play their style and they dictate to you. And he's such a great coach. He's been great at it. Look, yeah, debut of Josh King with the Phoenix. So there's that great unknown. We don't know how they'll respond after, you know, look, Sammy McKinnon did a really good job, I thought, in his, you know, short stint as interim head coach. So this is a bit of a toss-up in some respects. I mean, the Phoenix were impressive in New Zealand, you know, no doubt. But then, you know, they kind of struggled in the second of their games. So, you know, I mean, I say struggled. I mean, they actually did a good job probably against Illawarra, but struggled in terms of, you know, they couldn't get the stops when they absolutely had to. Yeah, at home, I'd probably give it to Tasmania without great confidence because they've been able to score or outscore anybody. And the Phoenix can, they've got some weapons, there's no doubt, but still without Derek Walton. So that'll hurt them. So, yeah, give me Tasmania in that one.
Yeah, I'm going Tassie. I agree with that. I have more faith in Tasmania with what they've done over the three seasons they've been in.
Yeah, correct.
Extremely well coached, the way they bring it. I just have a feeling he'll make some changes. I thought Sword played his best game of the year. That's going to give him confidence. I'm still very worried about the Jackies, but we've spoken long and hard about that. I feel for the players of the Phoenix. This is three coaches in 3 weeks or whatever the actual time is. That's a really tough scenario. I like the sound of this new coach. I'll be the first to put my hand up. I didn't think it was the right move to have an interim coach and then sign a new coach. I did say on air that if I was going to sack a coach, I want that new coach to come in and say, this is how it's going to be. Like whether it's for the year, whatever it may be, I didn't think it was the right thing to do. And I think it put themselves under more pressure, the fact that Sammy went 2-1 as well. So really tough to Josh King to be able to come into that scenario. Like the sound of him, like what he's been able to do. He's come out already and said, I really wanted to coach in this league because he's known Ariel Hakporti, Jack McVay and things like that. But I like Tassie this week. If they don't win this week, Tassie, I'm sort of getting to the stage where it's like, righto, you're going to meet. And don't forget, they come into Sydney as well on Sunday, which we'll get to in a second. If they lose both this weekend, they're getting to a stage where we're going to make a change because nothing's going to change if we don't. They're not getting enough supporting crew, you know, from who they need to get to with Drimmick and guys like this. They're just not getting enough. If they step up, they can win the game, and I think they will on Friday night.
So all in unison so far, all three for Melbourne against Sydney, all three for Tassie against Southeast Melbourne. Then the late game on Friday night on the East Coast, Perth Wildcats, Illawarra Hawks, Brad Rosen. This looks like a wow of a matchup. Even if the Wildcats are undermanned, can they do it again against one of, if not the competition heavyweight?
No, I think the honeymoon period will be over. The fact that I like, you know, Perth, I don't know if Ty Webster's playing makes a bit of a difference, and I don't know if Trey Kell's playing makes a massive difference. So I'm going to assume that both are in by this comment, and I think Illawarra will bounce back, and I love what Perth did, but it's going to take things like, Keanu getting that 30-plus points or someone doing something amazing. You can't take out an MVP of a player and just expect to win games all the time. That's my opinion. Bryce is such a vocal of that team. He's the GOAT of the current NBL, no question. And the fact that you know, he's out, I just think Perth won't do that again, and I think Illawarra will be too tough because they hoop, man. Illawarra, they run. They will not stop. Congratulations to Dave O'Hickey, by the way, a 3-year deal. I think that's outstanding and well-deserved.
The question with the Wildcats is going to be, can they maintain the rage? You know, they clearly had a great game plan against the Kings, but it was backed by just an outstanding effort across the board from everybody. Now you're putting, look, the whole Kell situation is a bit of a toss-up. According to JT, he's day-to-day. Does that mean he's going to come up? It's a long flight there and back. So, but by the same token, it's their only game of the round. So they've gotten lucky in that respect that they get to go to Perth. So maybe they take the risk with him. If not, you just mentioned Dave O'Hickey, just sensational. I mean, what he's been able to do. Just gone to another level, the kid. I've had a little bit to do with him, and obviously Brad has over the years, and a terrific kid.
And I played with that kid.
I know, yeah.
On my Monday nights as I was finishing off, he was climbing up, he was dunking everything. He's a great kid.
Tremendous athlete. As I think the thing with him is he's finally figured out how to play. You know, I mean, it's not just about his athleticism anymore. It's the things that he does. You know, he's just a great ball player. You know, so, a lot on the shoulders of Henschel and Pepper to deal with the likes of Harvey and Hickey. It's going to be tough for those guys, I think. Love the battle up front. You know, Darius Day is going up against Christian Doolittle. That's going to be one to watch. And then, look, Keanu Pinder and Sam Froling doing battles. So there's a lot of interesting matchups, but I just think Illawarra just a little too much depth, a little too much offensive firepower, and Perth don't have the same kind of emotion when it comes to the Hawks as they do against the Sydney Kings. So I'm expecting Illawarra to get the W.
Well, in unison again, I'm going the Hawks. Funny enough, if this was being played in Wollongong, I'd tip Perth because the Hawks at home just haven't been the same. And I think this is going to be one of those situations where the road team galvanises around it. And if it was Perth, I think they'd be in with a better shout. I think the Hawks will win and they'll win well. Saturday afternoon, Breakers 36ers, Matt.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because Adelaide over the years have... they've had this propensity over the last few years, rather, that you sort of you're high on them, and they've gone through a really good patch of form, and every so often they have these games where you look at it and you think they're going to kill this team, and for whatever, even home or away, wherever it is, and for whatever reason they drop the game, and you scratch your head and you think, how on earth did that happen? I actually think that New Zealand are going to get the upset. Adelaide should go in favourite, quite frankly. But, they struggled with Cairns a little bit, and I think New Zealand, with the confidence they took from beating Sydney in Sydney, going home to that environment, they should have a decent crowd. It's typically tough to play at Spark Arena. So, it would be an upset, but the battle of backcourts is going to be something to watch. I mean, wow. PJC, Matt Mooney against Davis and Dejan Vasiljevic. And then, obviously, the battle of the bigs. Jonah Bolden's going to need to step up. He hasn't played well so far. He might be in line for that breakout game. Who knows? I've not been high on Freddie Gillespie. I he was better against the Kings, but he's got to be more consistent. He still hasn't found his feet. And obviously Sam Meninga's got to step up as well. As I said, I've got a funny feeling New Zealand's going to cause an upset and get the W.
I'm going to go 36ers. I just feel they're playing really well. I love Sunday Deck. I think he'll do a good job on PJC. I think he'll do a better job than what anyone at the Kings was doing. I thought Bulkwall just couldn't stay with him. And I think that's where Sunday will do a good job. I feel the bigs will dominate in that game, and that's where I feel Adelaide are going to get this win. I do agree with you about Freddie Gillespie, but I will say that if Mooney and PJC are playing, Freddie Gillespie will be a lot better. He needs those quick guards around him scoring and doing the things. If you're just going to roll that into Freddie and say, go score, mate, get on a plane and go home. That ain't going to happen, right? Yeah. That's not what it is, right? So for me, 36ers.
Yeah, I'm putting the upset alarm on this game. Breakers at Spark Arena. This is going to be a fantastic game to watch. I've got the Breakers by a bucket.
Wow. Love it.
Breakers by a bucket. Sunshine Stoush.
Moving on to the next game.
Next. Let's just all say Cairns and move on. Phoenix Wildcats. Now, we should give it a bit of attention. Well,
can I just say, I called a game in Cairns, Brisbane about 4, 5, 6 years ago. I don't know when it was. And there was a blackout. And there was a blackout, and it was like 8 minutes to go in the game. And we had to stand in there for an hour waiting for it to come back on.
That was the cyclone. I remember that.
Thing, I tell you, went to 110 degrees in there. Yeah. And I'm in a suit and tie. They called the game off.
Yeah, because... Right?
And then we had to walk back to the hotel. And by the time I got back to the hotel, the whole of Cairns was down. I don't know. Maybe that will happen this week. And maybe it's...
Are you hoping it will happen this week?
Hoping it could be? I am going to say Cairns will win that game because Adam Ford is going to have them frothing Brisbane because I just don't think Brisbane are going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, short and sweet. I think Cairns get the W. I think the Orange Army powers them, despite they'll be undermanned again, I presume. I don't rate Brisbane at all. And I think Cairns at home, they'll have a bit of a point to prove, I think, after that loss against Melbourne.
Yep.
Cairns should belt Brisbane into a fine powder. And if they don't, there may be trouble ahead. Southeast Melbourne against Perth on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me because they're both teams I want to see play on Friday before I really say this is what I think is going to happen. But obviously, we're sitting here now. Barring injuries, barring anything I don't see different, I think Phoenix will get that for the fact that Josh King would have had one game under his belt. The players would have been more comfortable if they come off that win. I'm picking Tassie to win, but I'm saying if they come off where it's, you know, that situation where, okay, we played well, I'm happy with the way we go, I think it could lift them and move them forward. So I am going to say I think Southeast Melbourne, purely nothing against Perth, just the fact that I think Phoenix at home, new coach, new feeling, and the fact that there is a bit of a lift there, I just think Phoenix to get it.
Yeah, I'm really torn about this one because I guess, you know, one of the things that stands out is, as you said, Brad, they're both playing on Friday, but the big difference is, you know, Southeast Melbourne's in Tasmania. It's just an hour across, less than an hour.
Yeah, right? Good call.
And Perth have got, you know, a massive road trip in front of them. They're not used to any of that, for sure. But I'm kind of a bit torn by this because I look at it and think, I've been so down on the Phoenix and what they've been doing. And Josh King coming in is a huge unknown. We don't know how the players will react to that. All being equal, without Cotton, assuming without Ty Webster, I actually do like the Phoenix because I guess I've been really disappointed in them because I had them, I was really high on them prior to the season.
Yeah, you and me both, mate. Good call.
Yeah, who they brought in and I, you know, the likes of the Jordan Hunters and the Angus.
Oh, can I say though, how good is Jordan Hunter playing?
He's
He's just man, the best screen and roller in the game. Yep. I love him. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, and I've seen him take on two guys at once and beat them. You know, even after they got physical with him, particularly, you know, Rob Lowe, of course, not to go too much back into that. You know, I really like, look, it'll be, I hate to sort of say Perth are going to lose both games, which is why it gives me pause on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But having said all that, I'm also one of the, look, I think Tasmania is going to get them on Friday. So if I say that, it's one of them's going to lose both games, right? So yeah, give me the Phoenix. Yeah, I think they'll find it within them in front of their home crowd and a new coach, as you mentioned, Brad, to get the job done. But it'll be close.
Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Phoenix, with or without Ty Webster. I think the Phoenix will get it done at home. Sydney, Tasmania at Qdos Bank Arena is the Sunday afternoon late game. This should be a fascinating encounter, but who knows?
Cue the Benny Hill music. who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here? So, again, another both teams I'd like to see how they perform. I think the fact that Sydney get an extra day off, I think will help them a little bit if there is a bit of fatigue there. And I'm going to say that the fact that they've had some pretty poor performances at Qdos, I think the Kings will come home, and I don't think Tasmania have got enough runs on the board to be able to score enough to beat the Sydney Kings on their home venue. So Kings for me.
Yeah, no matter what, even without Jalen Adams, I do think it's, look, if we all think that the Kings are going to lose on Thursday, so this is going to be truly a backs against the wall ball game. Brian is very upset, and I know the team is, about the fact that they haven't put their best foot forward at home yet. And, you know, coming off that, it was one of the upsets of the year. There's no question about that. And having that extra day of rest, they have to get this one no matter what. They really do. And I think they will.
If the Jackies get the win here, boy, oh boy, next week's roundtable.
We talked about the Kings. Are they at crisis point? Well, you know, maybe not yet because it's still early and they're still, again, they've still got a positive record. They're still 5-4. So, you know, but yeah, you're right. If they lose four straight and they drop another one at home, yeah, I mean, it'll be, yeah, red alert for sure. Look, so
you say on paper Kings, right? But the Jack Jumpers are just that team that can rattle you and frustrate you. And we've seen it at Qdos in the past.
Well, it's how they're going to win games, right? I mean, Scotty Roth's come out and said it. It's, you know, it's going
to have to win ugly. That's as simple as that. They have to win ugly. You know, McVeigh, Magne is playing MVP, you know, situations the way he's playing. He's great. But yeah, unfortunately, but all the others.
Yeah, sorry, Brad. They're not giving him the ball enough.
Yeah, like, but to me, he's not that guy either. Yeah, right? So he's not that guy. He's getting there. He's getting there, but he's not that guy where you can just go get us a score, mate. He's the guy that comes and helps defense, you know, it blocks shots, finishes really well around the rim, set screens. If you don't have your ball handlers and your 2-3 guys doing things, it makes it easier to guard him. Right, you need the guys working around him. He's certainly a club you can build around, but unfortunately, I just don't think that the imports and I mentioned it before. You know, the guys that are playing those roles, they're not giving enough. Like that's the difference. Like Jack McVay gave something every single game. It was that 16, 18 points. It didn't matter. And then you could have your imports, your Crawford and guys, and, you know, they'd have those big games and those big moment shots. But McVay just gave him everything every night, every night. To me, you know, like the fact that Drimmick, no one's missing McVay more than Drimmick, right? Because he's just not getting the looks that he used to get when you had Jack on the floor. So, yeah, look, I mean, I love Will Magnay, but it's just you can't. I do agree what you're saying, give him the ball, but don't just roll it in and just say go to work, mate.
No, of course not. I mean, that's too simplistic. But what I'm saying is making more of a focal point. He needs to. More touches. I mean, that's my point. Just one thing to add as well. It's interesting. Another small guard that the Kings have had problems with. Obviously, Parker Jackson Cartwright, Jordan Crawford. You know, PJC's a better player.
We had 25 against them last time and the Kings won 80-71.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like that's fair enough. But I think, you know, like Milton Doyle from memory shot like 2 of 13 or 14 in that game. He was pretty ordinary. Drimmick, you know, doing okay. Clint Steindl, I mean, his role is not to be that starter anymore, but he's got to be in this situation. They really need some more stuff out of Ruben Tarangi. So that's where it's just not enough there for me. And I think the Kings just get that win.
And then we finish off on Melbourne Cup Eve in Melbourne, John Cain Arena. Melbourne United, Brad, up against the New Zealand Breakers. So this will be a fascinating contest.
Home straight in Flemington. Nah, Melbourne's doing that. No way. No way. I can't see them anything going on. They're at home. Two games, don't forget, right? Because they play a lot of home games now.
Yeah.
Because come January, because of the tennis and everything, they don't. Mate, they don't have to leave. They don't have to do a thing. New Zealand's got to get on another flight, you know, after playing Adelaide on Saturday, right? Sorry, on Friday. Oh, no, it is Saturday.
Saturday.
So, right. So they've got to come on Saturday. They've got to get out on Sunday, go in there on Monday, another flight, you know, like, nah, I just cannot see anything. But, and again, barring no injuries, something that I'm not sure of, I just think Melbourne are playing so well. And I'm loving watching Ian Clark at the moment. I mean, that guy is just balling. Dele, you know, all of them, they're just playing too well. Chris, Jack White, they're very good. They're very good.
New Zealand, as you say, Brad, you know, virtually no time to recover. They'll have a walkthrough on Monday, presumably, and that'll be about it. Against a Melbourne team that's just a juggernaut, and this is a blowout for me. I mean, and no disrespect to New Zealand, but they can't deal with Melbourne. I don't think anybody can right now. Now, it doesn't mean that won't change, you know, during the season, but just the way Melbourne are playing, again, it's how they're playing. I still have the question mark about their scoring, but it's not going to matter if they play defense the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
And they're still going to, and they'll have it. They'll put enough points on the board anyway.
Yeah.
Just so well drilled, so well coached. Yeah. Melbourne, and I don't see it being close.
Yeah. Clean sweep here. Melbourne United to win that as well. Brad, where can we hear the next Brad and Body podcast? When are you going to bless our podcast feeds with that?
Yeah, thank you, mate. That should be out very shortly. We actually did another one because it's WNBL time as well.
Of course.
So we had a very special guest do the prelim with the WNBL, and I won't let's just say she's a very well-credentialed person and may not be playing anymore, if that just gives a little bit out. So,
she wouldn't be the sister of someone you and I are very familiar with, would she?
Uh, She will, maybe. She will, may not be. So, but no, very, very excited to have her on. And so Boddy and I had a chat with her. She's fabulous. Spoke all things WNBL and, of course, gave a big NBL rap as well. And, you know, Boddy was his typical cranky self, the old fella. No, I love him. He's great. And we had a good fun. So that should be out in the next 24, 36 hours.
You got any games for ESPN this week? Where can we hear?
I do. I will be in Sydney on Sunday calling the Tasmania-Sydney game. So I'm quite looking forward to that. The Hawkies are on the road, so no game for me for them this week.
Well, it's always great to chat hoops with you, Brad. And thanks so much for spending some time with us on the roundtable. I'm sure we're going to be hearing plenty more from you. Well, we know we will be on ESPN, but I'm sure we can rang you back here to the roundtable before the season's over.
You guys are legends. Love it. And thank you so much for having me.
And Maddie, next week, the guests keep on coming.
Indeed. We'll be recording a little bit later because of that Melbourne-New Zealand game on the Monday. We'll be blessed with the presence of Mr. Olgun Ulic of ESPN fame and NBL fame, of course. So, had a great chat to him and on Sunday, and he's really looking forward to it.
Can you tell Olgun I'm very upset with him? He's now shopping at my fruit shop. He's moved to Clovelly. And I'm not real happy with Olgun. He's taking some of my fruit, and so I had a word with him fruit on Sunday.
Okay, I'll let him
not really.
There you go, Olgun. You've been told.
Get out of the fruit shop at Covelli. So that's next week on the roundtable. And we've got, of course, a big slate of games this weekend. As we mentioned, it's going to be out later next week. So usually it's a Tuesday morning release. Next week will be a Wednesday morning release because of that game on Monday night between Melbourne and New Zealand. Thanks so much for your company on the roundtable. If you're heading out to a game this weekend, enjoy it. If you're not, get a ticket and go see some action because it's another great season. And we'll talk to you again next week.